Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
So now I get the pleasure of saying welcome back. We had... Those of you who made it to the end of part one, you might have taken in the unmistakable sound of my phone vibrating, to which I answered a phone call very briefly, and then came back and proceeded to record an additional 45 minutes, 35, 45 minutes. However, my microphone was still on mute. So even though I visibly looked at it, clicked the button, the click doesn't matter. The light blinked for 45 minutes and I didn't notice it, thus indicating that I would be on mute. So at the end, I noticed that whenever I went to put the microphone on mute because I was done recording, that it was, in fact, 45 lost minutes of effort. So, gift and a curse. We missed the initial inertia of the idea stream. However, the blessing is that I've now had time to rehash, rework, and reconfigure in a more coherent and concise way the things that I was trying to say previously. We ended part one with me talking about the idea of the difference between opinions, principles, convictions, things of that nature. And that's all well and good, right? But it's bland, it's boring, and we're going to move past that to why I was talking about that to begin with, right? Because we move past the idea of an opinion and get closer to a conviction and keep that in mind over the next few minutes. And the reason why I say that is because we're going to talk about some stuff that, again, is for me and may or may not be for you, but I would encourage, as I always do, to look into it, right? Do the old Eddie Bravo, look into it. We have, they're rolling out the UFO thing again, right? The UFOs are back on the table. For the longest time, UFO was always like the fringe conspiracy. Now, fringe isn't true. It's the McDonald's of conspiracy. Like fringe conspiracy would be like, trying to think of something that would be really only a select few are really buying into it. Man, I can't even do dead celebrities because a lot of people think Tupac's alive. Elvis is still alive. Still, I think Osama bin Laden's still alive. Trey believes that he talked to the guy that shot Osama bin Laden in the head. Maybe he did. Maybe he did. I don't know. Seems real weird though. Seems real weird. I think it's higher likely that Osama bin Laden's dead. I'm more inclined to believe that Saddam Hussein's alive still. You watch that video of Saddam getting hung and it's real grainy, man. I mean, we can't get an HD video of that guy. being strung up. It looks like they hung him in somebody's house. Like that was what, I mean, when they killed Gaddafi, they skewered him. They literally shoved a bayonet in his butthole on camera, right? Saddam gets hung in his grandma's house, in somebody's grandma's house, a guy who's known to have a dozen plus body doubles that looked identical to him. That we're believing that guy got hung. You don't think he's in exile somewhere, just being pumped for each and every little bit of information, kept in some dark Faraday cage style facility. You think he's not there? Come on, man. Come on. That's where he's at. Just giving up all the secrets, all the back doors to all the Saudi bank accounts and all this stuff. He's a dead man switch for something. But anyway, they're rolling out the UFO thing again. It's the McDonald's of conspiracy theories. But here's where I've landed over the course of the last few, right? Like I've watched all the seasons of Ancient Aliens, right? Ancient astronaut theorists believe, right? George Tsoukalos with the crazy hair, the other guy, the fat guy with the glasses, you know. In time, what we have found at Göbekli Tepe, right? That guy. The ancient Mayan ruins would indicate that ancient astronauts may or may not have decided to visit these places. And if they did, what did it mean? Like that guy, him and Tsoukalos. Like I watched all those, man. I think I even have them on DVD. Right? I was that guy for a minute. And I think where I've landed, man, is I think UFOs are crap now, man. I'm not into this UFO UAP thing. I don't know if I believe any of that, right? Like I'm not saying that people didn't see things, right? So let's what we talked about before with the whole disclaimer and caveat and all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. Since this is the way the world is and I need to walk two steps forward and take a step back and give the context. Can you give the context? I need context of what's happening. Oh, man. I hate that this is where we're at as a people, that everybody is going, context, please. I need context and I need sources and I need context, right? Like, small tangent here. One of the dumbest things, and I mean just the stupidest things, that's really taken off in recent years. And the reason why this has taken off is because the whole actuallys in the context folks seem to be running the world and finding a way to breed are these like YouTube videos where somebody is just explaining them the easiest, like the most easy to follow thing that's happening, right? Like just the most easy to follow thing is happening. And there's some mouth breather that's probably making $1 million plus a year on YouTube revenue, just narrating over top of the most simple thing, right? This bus driver was about to retire after 25 years, and he didn't realize that when he got on the bus, there was going to be 50 kids waiting to sing him this song. And then it's a bunch of kids singing. That's it. Anybody could have, like, you can watch that video and figure that out without that, right? That's it. This cat was sitting on the side of the road mowing when this lady decided to stop and offer it some water. The cat was so thirsty it drank the water and waved its tail like it was saying goodbye as it walked away. Cool. And you like, look at that, it's got 30 million views. What? What? I mean, it's like hitting the read option, like on a menu for the blind. It just goes over the most basics. Like, I don't know. I mean, as an older person, I remember the days of like when YouTube like first came out, you know, the idea of a viral video and stuff like that. You show it to like your grandparents or your mom or something like that before they get the context or the concept of what they're watching. You'd be like, oh, check out this video this guy in a wheelchair, his buddy lights up fireworks right beside him and the chair malfunctions. It's super funny. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll watch that. But now, if you were to record back up, Terry, oh no, Terry, what you doing, Terry? Oh Lord. Like, you can't have that that video doesn't exist anymore. Like, because that video turns into the guy going, this gentleman was trying to light fireworks for this 4th of July Independence Day celebration. When he was entering the road, his chair malfunctions and the fireworks go off way too close. Like, on top of the video. So you don't get to hear the guy going, we got two cars coming from two different ways. You miss out on that. You miss out on all the little gems because you get this milquetoast narration explaining context for everything. So anyway, I did the ancient alien thing, right? I did the ancient astronaut theorist thing, and some of it was very compelling, right? And it worked beautifully in the sense that I couldn't reconcile it with my belief structure and my principles. I didn't understand how to marry the two together or how allow both to coexist. So I end up in this idea where my mind is saying to myself, there might be some falsehood in certain structures in my core belief set. That, because I can't reconcile how these fit into that when the evidence is very compelling. It's very compelling. But in reality, as you get older and you just, truthfully, and I'm going to continue to beat this drum until you do it, you start reading more. I'm not about just listening to people. I'm talking about reading more too. But you start reading more, gaining that knowledge, right? Reading's great too because you can just hard stop information from being absorbed. Whereas if you continue to listen over and over again, people can like inception beliefs into you. If you're not wary and careful and show discernment, which a lot of people do not have. Anyway, so this idea of UFOs and aliens and all this stuff. And part of me wanted to, I think the thing that resonates about aliens, the thing that resonates about UFOs with people is, and in particularly men, because it's primarily men that are interested in this, is the idea, this innate sense within you to conquer, to strive for conquest and adventure and danger. Like that is born within you as a boy and as a man, right? Like that, the idea of existing to explore and to discover and to either be the first or to be the last of something. Right? Like that in the idea of the cosmos and space, it's so vast. Any kid can look up, any man can look up and go, there's something there for me, right? Like there's room there for me. You know, you can't be Cortez. You can't be Columbus. You know, you are not a conquistador, not anymore, right? You can't be Rockefeller. Your days of uncharted perhaps even masochist or even suicidal adventure are gone. Here, right? I mean, if you want to go to Bolivia and chug some ayahuasca and walk into the jungle and try to live that dream, you can try that. But along the way, you'll stumble across the bones of other people that have done that before you. Like, it's just we've been there, right? It's been there. So you have two, the adventure of it. And this is why the ocean is so compelling to people, right? Like when you hear an old sailor or you hear the great poets or the writers and stuff like that, they never talk about anything, maybe outside of women, the way they talk about the ocean and its pull and its draw and its power over man. And you know why? It's because it's unfettered, it's untamed, it's something we know nothing, not nothing, but we know very little about, to the point where you can almost say that you know nothing, right? And I think that's what appeals about the cosmos. That's what appeals about space, in particular to men, is you look up and you go, there's still so much, right? There's still so much. Which makes the idea of believing in aliens and UFOs so real. And so, like, it's one thing to say, right, I believe in Bigfoot. People go, oh, okay, right? I believe in fairies and leprechauns. Oh, whoa, yikes. I believe in UFOs. I can see that. People start throwing in the mathematical probabilities of it based upon how their assumptions on how big the universe is and this, that, and the other. And they go, oh, well, I mean, that's not that. I mean, they have videos of stuff, but it doesn't, it never sings to the soul of a person as a truth. Like you can say, I believe in UFOs. I believe in aliens, but it doesn't reverberate in your soul as a truth. So it's a wish. It becomes a wish. And I mean, what's interesting to me is that I think that your body is telling you the validity of that right now. You say, well, Dale, we have video, right? There's video, there's pictures, there's close encounters of the first kind, of the second kind, of the third kind, you know, there's all fourth kind, like there's all of these things, right? Oh my gosh. But I would ask if it's any different than, say, we'll use the ocean. Say, is it any different than a shark? Like, are UFOs any different than sharks? What is that? What do you mean by that? Well, okay. So are you willing to acknowledge that sharks exist? Yes. What about UFOs? Yes. Okay. Have you seen pictures of a shark? Yes. Have you seen pictures of something in the sky that you can't explain? Yes. Yes. Have you seen pictures, or have you seen videos of sharks in the ocean? Yes. Yes. Yes, I have. How about UFOs? Yeah. I mean, I've seen other people's videos. Yeah. Have you personally seen a shark in the ocean? Maybe. I mean, maybe you have. I'm not saying they don't exist. Like, this is not me saying that sharks don't exist, because clearly they do. As evidenced by the video last week of that guy getting eaten by a shark in Egypt, which was terrifying. If you did not see the guy in Egypt getting eaten by a shark like 50 yards offshore, I would encourage you to not watch that, because it looks like a movie. I mean, his legs are flailing in the air. His arms are flopping around. He's screaming for help. It's like moving him back and forth like Jaws. It's terrifying. And it's 100% an indication that the ocean is not a place for you, you bipedal mammal. Keep your butt on the ground. Get out of the water. But where was I going with this? Is that... You may know people, or you yourself may have seen sharks out in the ocean. You may know people, or you yourself may have seen or taken video of something you don't see in the sky, right? All of those things are known to be true, okay? Have you seen evidence of sharks places? Yes. You know, with things getting bitten, them being recorded, all kinds of stuff, you know, bones, everything. Okay. Well, what about UFOs, UAPs, and aliens? Yeah. Well, crop circles and cattle mutilations and all these things. Okay. Yeah, for sure. eyewitness accounts that they exist. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. But if I ask you opinion, conviction, principle, conviction, are you willing, would you go, yeah. If I say gun to your head, are sharks real? Yeah, man, they're real. Yeah, cool. Gun to your head, are aliens real? I mean, you've seen all the same level of evidence. All the same level of evidence. But the core truth of it is that you know in your heart that it's bullcrap. It's bullcrap. I'm going to preach to you here for a second. The church, right? In particular, the Orthodox Church. The idea of aliens, UAPs, their understanding of UAPs in at least the Russian Orthodox Church, UAPs, aliens, UFOs, they're demonic. They're demons. And well, that seems like a stretch, right? Well, here's the thing, right? So take it through the context, take it through the lens of the church, okay? The lens of the church is that of this, that we are created, right? And the Creator created us in His image. And then we have the heavens and the earth in which we exist. It does not make mention of any other creator or any other creation or any other worlds. The only plurality that exists is heavens. Maybe you could maybe stretch that into the idea of alien, but keep in mind, and again, this is just through the church, is that the idea of, there's this idea that like, hell is this place that is deep and dark and down. Hell is sub heaven. Like yes, Hades, yes, hell in the traditional sense. But also, there are demons, aka fallen angels. Like a lot of people, demons, they think these like little charcoal, like Flava Flav with wings looking things flying around. You know, demons are angels that were cast out of heaven. So the same beauty that you envision with an angel exists within the realm of a demon. Amongst the fallen angel. And so anyway, the church perspective on this is that belief in alien, belief in UAP, belief in these things cause doubt upon the creation, right? The creation and the creator, much like dinosaurs do. So, which we'll talk about dinosaurs at a certain point, because hard stop, dinosaurs aren't real. They're dragons. Anyway, what you have here is a situation where the belief in one thing garners doubt in the other, and it remains an immovable wedge between the idea of faith and creation versus scientific, not agnostic, but like it just creates a wedge, right? Where you can't weld these two, you can't marry these two things together. This idea of creator, creation, our image here, and what does it look like? Well, these things came from 37 billion light years away. So based upon the projected age of the earth, these things started traveling here before God even created the planets. Like that's what they, that's the idea. That's where they want that to latch onto, right? Is that, let me give you this thing that, that creates this wedge, right? You've heard, we talk about the old timey phrases all the time. Greatest thing the devil ever did was convince people he wasn't real. That's the greatest trick the devil ever played, was to convince people he wasn't real. You're right. All my Southern Baptists out there are going, oh yeah, we heard that one before. But in reality, making you passive is very much the same thing. And I think that's where this lands. So, and I would ask you to just check the gut on it. Check the gut. The core fiber of your being. Does it tell you that UFOs are real or not? I've seen just as many pictures and videos of sharks. I'm just kidding. Sharks and UFOs is a bad analogy, but that's what I've got for right now, man, because it just doesn't ring as true at all. And here's what's great, right? Here's where the indecision comes into play, right? Everything is so moderate now, right? We want everything moderate. We want everything right down the middle. Everything needs to be right down the middle. And I'm going to present to you 100%. If somebody else is saying this, I cast lots at your feet, you know, for forgiveness, because I don't know. I don't listen to enough other content to know if this is true or not. But I'm just going to go ahead and say it right now. I think, I know Rogan has his detractors, right? But I think we're talking about in part one of this, where, you know, Uncle Ted's talking about the decay of man via the decay of society based upon the over socialization of people. I think a lot of that applies to cursory views of ideas as well. And there is no bigger violator of this than Joe Rogan to bring this back to MMA. Joe Rogan, there's this, it's really funny. It's like, he's like a Ferrari with a Honda Civic engine in him, where you're like, oh, this is this great thing that's just doing so good, so much good. You know, he's spurring up all these conversations and really getting people to think outside the box. But I would argue that he's actually doing much more harm than good, in the sense that Rogan brings on all of these guests, you know, and we're immediately going to disqualify fighters and comedians. So any of these experts that he brings on, right? And he allows these experts to come on. And again, I don't have a solution, and I'm not claiming that there's a better way to do it, but he brings on these experts and he asks them just the right amount of questions to talk about just the right amount of stuff that they're very confident in their ability to spew and push and narrate without enough actuallys being injected on top of it, that you leave this conversation, this 3-hour diatribe style conversation, with this false sense of being smarter about this subject than you were previously. Now, if you listen to an episode and you hear a guy talk about agricultural techniques and water conservation efforts and stuff like that, and you knew nothing about it previously, I suppose you could say that you walked away with that knowing a little bit more, right? But if you walk away from an episode where he has somebody coming on and they're talking about core belief topics, conspiracy theories aside, whether it be geopolitical issues, political candidates, government officials, things of that nature, right? It's not doing anything to further your own knowledge or your own conversation. And I would argue that what it does is it pacifies you and keeps you in the gray. It keeps you in the milk. It keeps you vanilla. Like, there's anybody exposed to that many supposed adverse opinions, you feel, I don't want to say it would radicalize you, but it would definitely push you into a certain compelling mode of life. I mean, you know, and what do we all talk about now, right? Like, what's the running joke? Oh, you listen to Joe Rogan, you're going to start shooting archery and smoking DMT. That's it. Like, that, even now, 15 years later, he's been in the podcast game. The takeaway is DMT and archery. All these guests, all this knowledge, all these conversations, the takeaway is DMT and archery. But yet you have enough people walking around that become sort of like this soundboard, soundbite, quotating expert on things. I think he just keeps you past. Here's the meat of this. I think Joe Rogan is a psyop. I think Joe Rogan is a government plant. He may not have started out that way, but nobody, then challenge me on this. If you find one, I want to know. Nobody has received or achieved the amount of success, both monetary and professionally, as Rogan, and been as involved and spoken to members of the FBI, CIA, NSA, every alphabet agency. He has sat down and repeatedly talked to and has connections with. He has connections with people with every alphabet agency in the United States. He says just enough to get you thinking, to get you talking without rocking any boat on his own. Doesn't rock any boat on his own anymore, right? There was times when he dropped the M-bomb or he called people retards and he would do this, any other. That was a thing. He did do that. But then what happened, right? He starts getting the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, the presidential candidates, the Spotify, all this stuff comes. And then all of a sudden, all this stuff starts getting tapered back and tapered back and tapered back. Is there anybody that you know that's getting tens of millions of dollars funneled into their bank account and regularly interacting with alphabet agencies that doesn't have some sort of connection to them and the way that they operate with him? Is it that unbelievable that the government would allow you to exist in day-to-day in a normal life and let you run your own show to an extent, but yet you still have to subliminally push a secret message? And I'm not saying like every fifth word, if you write it all down, indicates, you know, some Horcruxian, you know, secret decoder ring type thing. But what I'm saying is that for supposedly being so influential, what is he influencing? I think it's counter-influence. I think it keeps you in the middle. I think it keeps you from asking the tougher question, right? If you, oh, well, not to say that Joe Rogan's Batman. Well, as long as Joe's out there asking questions, they haven't shut down Rogan yet. They can't shut down Rogan. They can't shut him down. Come on, man. There's a reason. I'll give you the talking points. Keep it within reason. Don't stray too far off the path. Stay in line. Hit the notes. Step the steps. We'll leave you alone. Average episode downloads like 10 times the viewership of every Tonight Show combined. Is there you think there's a form of media that exists? Then this, you can hit me with Babylon B, you can hit me with Daily Wire, you can hit me with WAPO, you can hit me with The Atlantic, The Independent. You can try, But I'm telling you, there is no, we are so far beyond this. You live to serve your government. The government does not live to serve you. This is what Ted was talking about. He said this was coming. I think his timeline was 40 years, something like that, 50 years. That if we don't buck it between now and then, right, and we're like 30 years into a 50-year plan, no use when they catch him. 95. I think I caught him in 95. Braveheart, Forrest Gump, Unabomber, 95. What a year, baby. 96. I don't know. Doesn't matter. We're into it. We're either 20 or 30 years into a 40 or 50 year plan. We're over halfway there. And the idea there is to create a society that lives and exists to provide for the machine, not working on the machine to provide for the people. So if you think that somebody that gets 30, 40, 50 million freaking downloads an episode does not have some sort of handle on him, you are mistaken. There is a handle and a kill switch ready to rock and roll at just a moment's notice. At a moment's notice. This right here, right? This median, this exists even only by the will of the state, right? They can shut this down. No problem. No problem. This is the type of thing that makes me like, I get Bitcoiners. I get it. Crypto guys, I understand. I get it. Decentralized currency backed by the blockchain that the government can't touch. Bro, they just remove you. They just remove you. Things go dark. We talked about EMPs a couple weeks ago. Things go dark. You're not gonna. I can't scan your QR code, Bo. I mean, that's South Carolina right there. I can't scan your QR code, Bo. You can't do it, right? I can't. We're not getting on Coinbase. We're not exchanging. We're not paying gas fees with Ethereum. When the grid's down, or if they just shut you down, they just shut you down. So, like, you think Rogan's talking to 50, 60 million people a week and the government doesn't have just the smallest hook, the smallest cyanide capsule behind the molar? You think that doesn't exist? No. Rogan is there for one and one purpose only. And I'm not saying it started that way, because maybe in the DMT years it wasn't that way. But the way it is now, the Austin, Texas Joe Rogan has government handlers. The Austin, Texas Joe Rogan has a bullet point set of talk notes on what he can and cannot say, and people that will and will not come on the show, and what they can and can't say while they're on there, because it will ultimately keep you just bread and circus, right? Just keeps that sourdough going just a little bit longer, right? That bread and circus is going a little bit longer, because you think there's somebody out there still fighting the fight, man. You are fighting the fight. And here's I'll end it with this. You're fighting the fight, right? And you may be fighting not at all right now. Maybe you're fighting a little bit. Maybe a little gray man activity going on. I don't know. Maybe you're full-blown anarcho right now. I don't know. Maybe you will be 30 years from now. But here's the thing. If you exist now and you hear this, you're not going to see the fruit from the tree that you'll plant. You won't. And you need to reconcile that. One of the hardest things that I've been dealing with the last year or so is that the work that I will do, the work I have done, and the work that is the work I've done, the work I will do, and the work that is even further yet to come. I'm not, I do that for my, I'm doing that for my children and their kids. It won't be, I won't see any of this. The fruition of things that I will accomplish will come from that. I won't realize, they will realize that. Taking that mentality, ask yourself the difference between opinion, principle, conviction, or opinion, conviction, and principle, and start fleshing that out. Because it's going to matter whether you believe it or not. Soon enough, it's going to matter. All right, there's your 40 forgotten minutes. I will I'll see you guys here in a little bit. Take care. Be good to each other. God bless you. We'll see you.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.